Zucker didn't know, that's the sound of Buffalo Spills broadsides jingling and jangling at you for the next 2.5 hours. We're going to be examining in depth the latest police escapades on downtown Santa Cruz Pacific Avenue with Steve Arkin once more in the slammer, thanks to Officer Martin and some of his pals in blue, including two sergeants who apparently didn't have enough good judgment to stop a bad arrest before it happened. Stay tuned. Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, your community radio station. Up in Berkeley, they've lost their community radio station. A real community radio station got lost last year. That was Free Radio Berkeley. And the radio station that has kind of served as the well-to-do white liberals' answer to Free Radio KPFA, it's been getting worse and worse over the years, went down with a plop, with a whimper, about a week ago, and there has been, thankfully, a massive response. Finally, the liberals seem to be aware that there's something happening here. And, of course, for the last week, for those of you who have been reading the papers, even the mainstream media has been tutting a bit about the Pacifica Corporation's determination to close down KPFA because the community in Berkeley, including the KPFA staff, want to continue and expand community broadcasting. Local news, news generated in Berkeley, alternative media, the kind of thing you hear on Free Radio. Well, we do much more of it than they do, and we do it in a more kind of grassroots, ground-level way, and certainly in a less smooth and professional way. But some of it got out on KPFA, and that was not palatable to the people in Washington, D.C. and Houston, and they sent in the corporate schmoozies to essentially take over the radio station and evict everybody else. And as a consequence, people have been sleeping in front of the station, marching and picketing, picketing the broadcast, the transmitter to stop KPFK, the corporate sister station to the south, stop the corporate boys from putting in a link with KPFK so they can just simply broadcast straight from LA and avoid Berkeley and avoid the entire picket line. And they were able actually to get past the pickets, and they are now doing that. But there are still ongoing protests of a significant, strong sort. Berkeley City Council had a very strong resolution, which they failed to pass Tuesday night because two city council members were out of town, and so it was defeated. It had a 4-3 majority, but it needed 5 votes for some obscure reason, and 2 of the members were out of town. Berkeley City Council has 9 members, and you need 5 of those, apparently, to pass a resolution of that sort. Anyway, I went up to Berkeley on Wednesday and did a few interviews. I'm going to play a few of those and talk a little bit about KPFA, but much of the time I'm going to be talking about police abuse in Santa Cruz and the latest updates on police misconduct, specifically around the Steve Argue case. I'm not talking about the case where they threw Steve to the ground for selling a newspaper back in November, or the case in May where they pepper sprayed him down the throat when he defended a woman from a police torture hold. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the jaywalking ticket they gave him on Tuesday, nor the threats they gave him 3 weeks ago. I'm talking about his being thrown to the ground again in front of New Leaf today, and this, of course, has been discussed a bit on the air. Got a couple of interviews which I've done, which I'll be playing on that subject. Unfortunately, the main one, we missed most of it. It got recorded over one of my usual glitches, but we do have a significant part of it. That's from Vinny, the V-Man, who is really on the scene, Johnny on the scene kind of journalist. He was the man who broke the Happy John Dimes story when that individual was shot dead by police in November of 1987, and he was present as police officer Martin shoved his way into the scene, shoving first Vinny and then Steve Argue earlier this afternoon. Argue is currently in jail, though I have had a call from Mr. T that he's expected to be released. Of course, as I told Mr. T, we would believe that when we saw it, because one hears many things from the jail, and not all of them happen and come to pass. But let's go up to KPFA for a bit and hear what's going on up there.
Okay, it's July 21st, 1999. It's around 9:40. We're here on Martin Luther King in front of, near the boarded up KPFA headquarters, talking to
Shirley Browning.
Shirley patiently bearing with me and my defective tape recorder. She has a sign, "Return KPFA to us now." Across the street are 5 squad cars to handle an imposing crowd of about, 10 or 15 people who are in front of the station. That's about 1 squad car per 2 people. That makes you pretty dangerous. Pretty dangerous. And you said that last night the police moved from taking tents out of the street, which they'd done on Sunday night, to actually telling people they couldn't have tents up on the sidewalk.
That's true. There were 32 tents, and as you see, there are none now.
Because it hasn't been rain, so you've been...
I know. It's summer. It's kind of dark.
They're trying to make you feel the homeless experience in all of its kind of glory. So, I mean, they put homeless people to this as a sort of way of toughening them up, and this is really their way of giving you a kind of a particular insight into the homeless of Berkeley. So you were present when police came to remove these tents?
Yes, I was present.
And how many of you were there?
About 50.
And what was the response of the folks there?
Well, of course, we're nonviolent. Our response was calm, cool, and collected. We knew they might come. We didn't expect not to be able to put the tents on the sidewalk, but we complied.
You had them on the sidewalk since Sunday night when they moved them from the street?
Well, we were in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And the procedure has been to have people put them on the sidewalk.
You were in the street last night as well?
We were in the street back again and had been all day.
And so this time they said, no, no, no.
That's what they said. And
what, was anyone arrested or taken to jail?
7 people were arrested at that group. The ones who agreed to submit to arrest is how.
Well, and what were they charged with?
I'm not certain. I'm sure you will find out from some of these others.
Thank you. I appreciate the help.
I'm not a super.
I'm from Free Radio Santa Cruz. Up for the day, or up for the morning. But it looks like there are a lot of police officers standing across the street. Is this some sort of a contest? Who has more, the police officers or the protesters?
Well, right now, there seems to be a big police presence. And over the weekend, they really backed off. They pretty much gave the street to the demonstrators, and we had couches here, and we had kind of a tent city. But then they come in early morning, 3 a.m. when people are asleep and it's most vulnerable, and they apparently clear it. They've done that now for the last two nights.
And has the crowd been dropping? Were you here yesterday morning?
This is building, even though right at the moment it may not look like there's too many people here. There is a movement that's growing, and it's, I think, just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, unless you're getting a honk at least every 3 or 4 minutes.
I've been spending out a lot of hours with signs, and I would say 80 to 90% of the cars make some kind of signal that they support the protesters, either by holding up a fist or smiling or nodding or honking or something.
Now, is anyone actually inside the building?
I don't know. There have been different rumors on that somebody's in there broadcasting, but I don't know.
Now, I was here at the mass protest on Wednesday when we had about 1,000. I thought it was about 1,000. Some people thought it was more than 1,000, marching around and going down to the freeway. And I guess later that night, maybe it was the next day, 7 people were arrested for trying to check the view out from the top of the station.
Yeah, the biggest arrest. And there was some arrests up on the balcony. Those were some of the more violent arrests, where there was a couple of people clubbed with the baton.
The arrests this morning were peaceful?
Again, I wasn't here this morning. I got here around 9. I don't know. You have to find
somebody. You're just a newcomer to the area.
I'm a newcomer this morning, but I've been here every day since this started. I generally stay here from about 5 p.m. to 11.
And you have a very fashionable free KPFA cap on.
Yes.
Looks like you made it yourself.
Well, I put the words in. I didn't make the hat. And I've got my gag from Wednesday night.
You were there Wednesday too.
I wear this and put this on sometimes.
KKK sucks ass!
We have the more outspoken protesters.
But I'm willing to stay here as long as it takes. I've been listening to the station for 30 years, and it's just the right thing to do to be out here to say that it's real important to say that you get information there that you don't get anywhere else. And they just here at Pacifica, which is supposedly a democratic principled organization, is totally banning any kind of democratic.
That's not what the KPFK manager told me in an email I got this morning. He assured me that all was well and that those folks in Berkeley are distorting everything, and that they're trying to reason and peace is what they want to prevail.
Well, you need to just tune into the web pages, keep getting information. You have to make your own decision. Okay. The masses of people in Berkeley support the KPFA staff. I think they should be given honors instead of banned from their station. They do a really good job when they're allowed to do it.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're an observer. Your name is?
My name is William Hammond. I've been here for 4 days and 5 days and 4 nights.
You're sitting in front of a table with literature.
Information table.
Information table.
Right. This is the new one today. We got all the events happening, schedule. We have everything.
You got
agenda.
Agenda's right here.
Now, there was a Berkeley City Councilman last night. Anything happened at that meeting?
Yes.
Yes. Completely against us.
Oh, really? Well, what is your name?
Jeff.
Jeff, tell us about the fine response of Mayor Shirley Dean.
She was totally opposed to the proposal that come up against the board. We had two resolutions.
What were those two resolutions?
The one she agreed with was getting money from Pacifica to help their budget for police action on this protest.
I see. So they don't mind roughing people up and keeping people away from, essentially interfering with democratic free speech process, but they want to get paid to do it.
Yes.
And what was the other resolution?
What was the other resolution? should be on here. Oh, I have it in here. Hold on. Here it is. Let's see. Number 2.
I should read this aloud.
Yeah.
Now therefore be it resolved that the city manager shall send this resolution, a letter and a fax to each Pacifica board member and to the executive director of the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, which provides 15% of Pacifica's funding, stating KPFA should be put back on the air live, the lockout should end, and employees and volunteers permitted access to perform their valuable services to our community. Bring back Nicola Soraya, Larry Bensky, Roddy Osmond, and Dennis Bernstein. Rescind the gag rule and warning notices for breaking the gag rule. Establish a process for democratic representation of local stations on the Pacifica board. Now this has one. Two, city manager shall continue to minimize the use of the city of Berkeley's police force in this situation while ensuring that merchants' business entrances on Martin Luther King are not blocked and while responding to complaints by nearby residents regarding the noise ordinance for late evenings. And finally, the Berkeley City Council endorses the community forum where both KPFA and the Pacifica management can present their views, currently scheduled by the Berkeley Community Media and carried on Channel 25 on July 24th between 1 and 2. So this was actually was a much longer resolution, a lot of whereases, but
this
that was
the one she agreed with.
And so what, this resolution passed or failed?
Failed.
By what vote?
It was 3-4, but we needed 5 votes. It was still 3-4. 4 were on our side, but 2 liberal council members were supposedly out of the country or sick. So
it failed.
It failed.
Do you have an extra copy of this?
I do, actually.
I'd love to get a copy of this. So was there much of a crowd at the city council last night?
I sent a few people over there. How many people was over there?
About 20 KPFAers.
Mm-hmm. Now, it looks like, I mean, they may have taken the tents that you were going to tell me about that, and you're going
to get it. William Hammond.
And William, you're going to tell me what happened at, was it around 3 o'clock this
3:30,
morning?
3:30, they came through with the order to clear the streets and clear the sidewalks.
At which time there were how many folks with how many tents?
We had 32 tents and
approximately 100 campers.
Campers.
Uh-huh. And what was the response of the community here?
We all took our tents down. Uh-huh. Everybody put their tents down. Most of them packed them up and set them on the side in the cars, and they came through with street sweepers, water guns for the sidewalks, steam cleaners for the sidewalks. And the news was here. And the news finally got here. Like the other night, the news wasn't here. The news was here, so they got to take pictures of everybody getting arrested.
Now, who got arrested for what?
We had 7 people get arrested, or 8 people get arrested. They were all arrested.
I'm including Khalil.
Yeah, we got arrested a little bit later.
Because he was trying to stop us. Somebody put up a tent, which actually happened to be me, back on the sidewalk. And Khalil, a really good man, who's been a police liaison, came running over with a blowhorn. He's been up for, like, God knows how long, how many days. I think it's been, like, 9 days he's been up now. And he just got a little bit out of control. He was yelling at the police. And
what was he yelling?
What are you doing? You know, tell me where you're going. What are you doing? There's 5 policemen crossing the street coming towards the tent trying to take it down. And he ran over with the blowhorn yelling, police, what are you doing? Where are you going?
He was arrested for, what, indecorous speech for the police?
Yes.
Who were the others arrested for?
Sitting in the street.
Okay, and are they being OR'd? Are they still in jail?
They're still in jail, as we know. No. They should be OR'd pretty soon.
Total of how many arrests?
9. Including one handicap.
How many since last Tuesday?
Including,
9 two nights ago.
That was
18. And then how many we have at the station?
Tuesday, were there?
It was like 16 or something.
16 arrests,
so Tuesday was the day that Bensky got dragged out of the studio.
Right.
Yeah, and then there was Wednesday. I guess people were arrested on the ladder, or was that Thursday?
Yeah, I think that was Wednesday. Yeah.
7 people, I think, that day. So it's somewhere around 90 or 100 arrests, something like that.
I don't think it's quite that high. It's, say, like 45, maybe,
I think
far.
I think I heard the number 87.
At least 50. at least 50, I'd say.
Somewhere between 1 and 100, well, there's certainly numerous arrests.
Yes, definitely numerous.
So, you guys have been here for how long?
Seven nights, 6 days.
You've been here continuously?
The other way around, I don't remember.
You've been here continuously yourself?
Yes, myself, I've been here.
And are you, does it look like it's a smaller crowd? You think the impetus is diminishing? Is it increasing? What's the story?
Well, as you can see, there's 10 people here, and usually you wouldn't be able to look around and count the people that fast.
There's a smaller number than there has.
A great smaller number.
And did you attribute this to the weather, the police presence?
The police presence and not being able to put up the tents. A lot of people have been out here for days and days and are really tired. Most of them went home to get some sleep. As you can see, there's still some people sleeping up against the walls here. But yeah, I myself am very tired.
Any comments, William?
We're just still here. We're fighting. There's been a lot of support. The concert the other night was great.
Tell me about the concert.
The concert was fantastic. They took 5 days to set the concert up. It sold out, 3,500. They had to turn back about 100 people.
2 days?
Yes, sir. They had to turn back like 100 people. It was packed. And after the concert, everybody came out. It was one of the largest presents here. Like I said, it was 32 tents. We had 3 sofas, numerous air mattresses and blankets. When I first got here 4 days ago, there was like 8 tents. Last night there was 32, so it was plenty.
Yeah, do you think that tonight the number will increase? What's your thought?
We're supposed to have some people coming down from Sonoma. I think it was tonight. And,
March coming from Ashby Bart, I've heard. Hopefully over 1,000 people. That's what I heard this morning. So hopefully that will come through and we can take back our motherfucking radio station. Sorry for
You mean take back KPFA?
Take back KPFA.
Whoa, what a concept.
I know. Free speech, you know.
My apologies to people who are sleeping.
Soon they're going to be literally what you can take, you know.
So, you actually spoke a moment ago about an incident that kind of touches on the reason I came to Berkeley today, which is I'm up here defending the right of Richard Quigley, who was given a ticket by a UCSC cop, a traffic ticket for, I think it was one of these profile stops where they stop you on a pretext in order to look at you, and they don't know what they don't have a good reason,
but
they create a reason. It was a burned-out license plate light. And then they gave him a ticket. He was going to refuse. He refused initially. He asked, what would happen if, what would you do if I asked me to, you would take me to a magistrate first? And he said, I'd tow your car. And he made it real clear that he was going to tow the man's car and arrest him, put him in jail if he didn't sign the citation. So he signed it under duress. And he attempted to rescind the signature, and that, now they're refusing to do that, and that's why he's up there in Berkeley appealing that issue in a Berkeley court. And you said you had a similar experience.
Yes, I was pulled over for actually going below the speed limit on Highway 880 by the San Jose Highway Patrol. And yes, they tried to give me a ticket, and I said, you know, there's no good reason. I was going 5 miles under the speed limit. There was no other cars. It's 3:30 in the morning. You know, he said, well, you know, it's Friday night. You don't sign this ticket. We tow your car, and we take you in, and you're going to wait that till Monday. And I said, well, that's what you're going to have to do. That's what you're going to have to do because I won't sign this ticket. And actually, I got a lawyer, and they ended up paying for my vehicle release.
That's what they did tell you. They did take you to jail.
They did tell me, and they did take me to jail. But
how long were you house?
8 hours.
Did you bail out, or were you OR?
I was OR.
Wow. What happened then?
Then I had to hitchhike back home.
Where was your house?
Berkeley, where I live. I was headed to Santa Cruz, actually.
Interesting. So, what was the ultimate outcome legally of the whole situation?
They dropped all the charges. And, no complaint was filed, I believe.
And did you get any kind of financial remuneration from the...
No.
So you weren't able to get... You got your car out, but you had to pay for it?
Yeah, it really wasn't worth it. I probably should have just signed the ticket, but...
And then rescinded your signature.
And then rescinded my signature.
The man with a verified complaint.
Right.
That's the process that Richard Quigley is trying to do here in court today. Well, thank you.
No problem.
I got news.
on the very best kind about trouble. I'm very far behind about people. He used to be blind till he opened up his eyes to see. It's new, when he began to ask why the fool. And he did it in my dead time. Up high in the sky and he wants some security. And it's new, new, big, and it's new, new, big, new, new, new. Talk about the new, this mighty good news to me. I got new, I'm not some ordinary man, they heard it. Preach time again to be patient, and then grateful amen. Don't agitate around here. They argued and talking around and woke up and heard what they found their voices. Made a mighty big sound so they didn't know the meaning of fear. And that's new, new, think that new, think that's something to see. New, new, to talk about the news, it's mighty good news to me. In the hazard, them eating at night, organizing and doing it right and planning for a hell of a fight, and it sure don't pay to lose. In New York, the tenants know the slumlord ain't getting my door and cut up. And I want you to know that's the very best kind of news. And that's new, new, think that new, ain't that something to see. New, new, talk about news, it's mighty good news to me. That's new, new, think that new, ain't that something to see. New, new, talk about news, it's mighty good news to me.
And that was Tom Paxton, Ain't That News, from the early 60s. And here we are in the late 90s with Dan Hopkins, former and sometime homeless activist, on the phone with us now. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing? I'm at the county jail, and Steve Argue just got released.
Oh, great.
And he's standing right there talking to the people right now. And
well, maybe you can put him on the phone when he's finished, and he can talk to the radio audience. How's he looking? Any bruises?
Well, I don't know if he'll have time to talk because we're going to go over to that Peltier thing over at What Is Art, you know. Maybe your listeners might want to know about that.
Oh, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's about the Leonard Peltier film. They're going to have that, and I don't know a whole lot about what's going on there, but it starts at 7 o'clock tonight, and there should be a lot of people there.
Well, we got about half an hour before 7.
Uh-huh.
Is reporter Vinny Lombardo there, perhaps?
Yeah, he is. Okay. Vinny! Vinny!
Hey, Vinny!
He's on his way over here just right now. Hold on a second.
Excellent.
He's coming right now.
All right.
Here we go.
Thank you, Dan.
Here. Hello, hello.
Is this the V-Man?
That's me.
You're live on the air, V-Man.
Well, hello, Santa Cruz.
Listen, we took an interview from you earlier, which we haven't yet played on the air. Unfortunately, the key part of the interview, we kind of got garbled. So I wonder if you could tell us actually what's happening now and what happened earlier today.
Well, let me start by saying Steve Argue's out of jail.
Is he being charged with anything?
He's being charged with 148,
which
for obstructing justice.
Obstructing justice? You mean obstructing
that? Obstructing the police officer in their lawful duties.
Officer Martin's temper, you mean?
Yeah, basically. Disturbing the police.
Indeed. And so you actually were in the middle of this. In fact, we can blame you because you brought Steve Argue to this scene, didn't you?
No, we both went voluntarily. I mean, I didn't drag him along, kicking and screaming. But, yeah, I was tabling this afternoon for Free Radio with DJ Manifesto. And we'd been set up for about 10, maybe 15 minutes when Manifesto looked over towards New Leaf and noticed that this officer was detaining this guy and questioning him. And he started to walk over there. And I said, no, let me go. I have my tape recorder, so I'll go over there. So I went over, and as I was walking down the sidewalk, Steve Argue came out of one of the stores, I think the cookie company or something, and we both walked over together. So we stood over there, and what was going on was this man was being detained. Apparently, what I gathered from walking on this situation was that this officer Bynes, Wendy Bynes, badge number 130, she's a female officer who works the mall beat, she was in the area in front of New Leaf in what is known as Hippie Planner, and essentially what was going on was this man had a check for over $20,000, and
it's at home, yeah.
Actually, it's in Brian's car. Anyway, sorry. So we walked up on the scene, and we were just basically inquiring what was going on, and he told us what was going on, that he had this check. He voluntarily gave it to her. And we informed him that he didn't have to do that. He could, you know, he didn't have to voluntarily do anything. And if she just asked, she had no reason to suspect anything was wrong. And in the you know, the conversation that they were having, but she said she didn't believe him that he had a check for $20,000, I guess, and so she wanted to look at it. So he voluntarily let her look at it, and then she decided to check the name on the signature, and make sure it was legitimate. So they tried to call, it was apparently from his uncle, and so they tried to contact his uncle to make sure that this was...
Let me interrupt you for a minute. She decided to do this because he wanted her to do it, or...
No. Because she wanted to look at the check.
Well, she received a complaint from three people complaining it was fraudulent?
Nothing like this.
She had a sudden intuition from a divine source that it was not a valid check.
Yeah, essentially. Like, why would this scumbag have a $20,000 check?
So, but he wasn't actually trying to cash the check through her. He simply had it in his possession, and she assumed that there was reasonable suspicion that it was a bad check?
Correct.
What was the basis of her reasonable suspicion? Did she articulate
that? No, she did not. She did not. So I guess what happened was he gave her permission to run his name. That's when we had gotten there. She had already had this in her possession when we walked up. And I was tape recording this and just trying to figure out what was going on. And at one point she made the statement that it became involuntary when I walked up to a situation that was none of my business with my tape recorder. She made a statement, something like that. I can rewind.
So in other words, she punished the man with the check because you came with a tape recorder?
Basically.
She told him he was not free to leave because you had arrived with a tape recorder?
Right. This is the tactic that the police use to try and divide us, and they try and put the blame on me. You know, this is the reason that you're being punished because this person is standing here witnessing it. And they try to, like, divide the people, the citizens that way. When in reality, I'm there for him, mm-hmm. for this person who's... you know, having to go through this situation with this cop for no reason.
Right.
So anyway, this is what ended up transpiring. She called for backup.
Now, about this time, how many people were watching the scene?
I would say, well, there was already, like, a couple of his friends there, like two or three of his friends, and, like, just some random people in the area. And then when we walked up, it got a little bit more intense because we're very vocal about what we do. Mm-hmm. And we attracted some more attention on it. That's when she called for backup. I would say maybe 25 or 30 people were standing around in different areas.
But no one was being violent?
No. Not at all. In fact, myself and Steve Argue were at least 10 feet from the officer while she was conducting her business.
And were you threatening the officer?
No, not at all. Not whatsoever.
Did you demand to see her wallet to see if she had any bad checks?
No, I didn't.
No.
So she calls for backup, and approximately, let's see, I guess two community service officers and a host showed up initially. And then almost immediately thereafter, Officer Martin, Alex Martin, badge number 161, he rides a motorcycle, rolled up. And at this time, I had my back to the street. And he walked up from behind me, and I kind of half turned around, and he pushed me. And he told me to back away. And I said, no, I'm not, I'm far enough away from her, I'm not causing any physical threat, no. And he shoved me once or twice. And I kept telling him, demanding that he keep his hands off me.
Let me get this straight. This is an officer, a paid officer of the Santa Cruz Police Department, who, without reason, assaulted you?
Exactly. Who had no idea what was going on.
You might say he assaulted and battered you.
I would definitely say he assaulted me.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, battery is he touched you, that's for sure. And assault is he put you in some fear?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Sounds like a lawsuit to me, honey.
And then, well, this is when it gets really hairy. He did the same, treated Steve Argue very similarly. He started shoving him. And we both asserted our rights not to be shoved, that we're in a public space, witnessing the police, you know, we're not causing any threat. And at one point, the man who was being detained, the guy with the bad check, whose name I didn't get...
The bad check, you mean the check that...
That they thought was bad.
That they had somehow intuited from divine sources was questionable.
Mm-hmm.
But actually it turned out not to be bad, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. I'll get to that.
Right.
He made a comment to Officer Martin, and at one that he said a few things to him,
such as
just, you know, calling him, name calling mostly, just, mm-hmm. you know, basically he had no right to do what he was doing, and he thinks he's on some power trip and all these kinds of things.
He was upset with the way Officer Martin treated the two of you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I think that's when they grabbed Steve, put him in, you know, basically grabbed his right arm.
They being
back.
Who was they?
Officer Martin. So, they being the police.
Was there anybody else with Martin who did that? Or
no, Martin did that on his own. He acted alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he put him in cuffs, and we demanded to know why, and Steve demanded to know why, and he set him in front of there's a statue right out there on that corner.
Mm-hmm.
He set his back to that statue and tried to force him to sit down on the ground by putting his hands on his shoulders and pushing him down. And Steve refused to sit down, mm-hmm. and because he felt like this was an an unjust arrest, and it was an unjust arrest, an unlawful arrest. And we kept demanding to know why he's being charged, and they put him, he was in cuffs already, and since he refused to sit down, they used a pain compliance hold on him to try and get him to sit down. He never did get to sit down. At this point, two sergeants rolled up on the scene. And
who were they?
That was Sergeant Goodwin, badge number 112, and Sergeant Sanders, 119. Mm-hmm. And they rolled up. And at this time, we were very vocal, yelling and screaming and demanding that they stop this blatant harassment.
And was there a large crowd?
Yeah, at this point, there was a lot of people gathering on all corners of Pacific and SoCal.
How many would you estimate?
I would estimate over 100 people stopped and witnessed this.
Mm-hmm. What was the mood of the crowd?
Mostly just disbelief. People that witnessed it were just in awe that this was going on, that these, you know, that Steve was being arrested, and they knew that, you know, he's a pretty well-known personality downtown, and people know him because he's always on that corner. He's always trying to reach out to people and, you know, passing out literature and talking to people about his current situations. So he's known. People know who he is, and they knew exactly what was going on. That this was harassment and repression on a political activist, and they knew that. And we have witnesses that are willing to testify, people in good standing in the community that witnessed this, that just couldn't believe it.
People like Christopher Crone?
Well, Chris Crone didn't witness the arrest, but I walked up to Chris Crone after they took Steve away, and they still had this man detained now, this guy with the check. They still had him detained, and they were still trying to determine if this was a valid check. It turned out to be valid after about 15 minutes. But I walked up, John Woolfolk was also there, and he was taking notes and statements from
people.
He's
the San Jose Mercury News reporter.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, exactly, and he showed up on the scene. And
had he seen the arrest?
I think he did see the arrest. I didn't notice him until probably a little after they had gotten Stephen cuffs.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go on to Crone and Woolfolk, how did this situation with Steve and the two sergeants, you say, rolled up, and what happened then?
And then Detective Goodwin took, Sergeant Goodwin, he used to be a detective, he's not anymore, he got a promotion. But anyway, he took him into custody and put him in their police car and took him to the police department initially. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Sergeant Sanders was trying to figure out what was going on, and they didn't, you know, at that point they had enough police around them that nobody was going to go near any of the cops and any of the, you know, the individuals that were being detained.
How many police officers were there?
Altogether, let's see, it was Martin showed up, there was Bynes, the two sergeants, the two CSOs, and then Officer Black came up at one point for a little while. He's also a motorcycle cop, badge number 184. And then after that, Officer Headley rolled by, but he didn't get out of his car. He just stopped for a few minutes.
Everybody but Officer Lefebvre, eh?
Yeah. And, well, Lefebvre's on duty right now, somewhere in the city, probably harassing somebody. But, so they put Steve in the car, took him away, mm-hmm. And at that point, I turned to my right, and I looked over at the corner, and I saw Chris Crone walking across the street. So I ran over to him, and I says, "Chris, what's going on here?" You know, I told him what had happened, that they'd arrested Steve Argue for no reason.
And Chris took a militant stand, right?
Chris said something to me to the effect of that he had confidence that there was a situation here. That, you know, he was confident that the police were acting this way because there was some situation.
Uh-huh.
So he essentially asserted his confidence for the police department that they acted appropriately.
Did you ask him
without any knowledge of what had gone down?
So did you ask him how he felt about the Easter Bunny?
No, I didn't.
No.
I was a little upset, and also at the same time as I was talking to Chris Crone, this annoying yuppie lady who was ordering a veggie burger from the kiosk started yelling at me to get a job, get a job, why don't you get a job, why don't you get a job? And I turned to her right before I approached Chris, and I says, "I have a job, if you want to come visit me, I work," and I told her where I work, and then she shut up, and so
she
then,
didn't demand to see your checks to see if there were any
yeah, really,
checks.
You want to see a receipt, exactly, I get paid tomorrow, so I'll come find her and show her my paycheck. But anyway, so they took Steve to the police department, and at that point, we decided to mobilize. You know, this is BS, and we're not going to stand for this. So we got a few of us together. We put it out on the radio right away. We called up Jim Costner's show this afternoon, and the word got out right away. We quickly put out a little flyer and went out and handed him out at 3 o'clock to get people to come down to the jail facility, because he was eventually transported from the PD to the jail. And when Steve got out just a few moments ago, I'd asked him, what had happened, and he said they didn't even know what to charge him with. They went back to the police department, they looked up a bunch of stuff that they could try and charge him with, and they couldn't find anything, so they said, oh, well, 148.
Which is?
Resisting, obstructing, or delaying a police officer.
I see. And what police officer did they claim he resisted, obstructed, or delayed?
I'm not sure how that's going to play itself out.
But we are assured from Christopher Crone that all is well.
Yeah, all is well. The police must have, he has confidence that they did something right. Mm-hmm. That there was a situation.
It was a situation,
So anyway, so they bring him to jail, and we had about 25 people at the peak, I think, out here waiting for him, demanding to know what's going on. They closed the jail facility, the lobby, early. They locked us out, wouldn't let us use the bathroom. They turned their telephone off so that we couldn't call in and get information. But finally, Steve was just let out maybe 10 minutes ago, and I'd asked him what happened. And what had happened was they brought him to the jail, put him in a holding cell. Then when they found out that we were out here, they decided to put him in solitary confinement to as punishment for our presence outside. And they told him that.
That sounds fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to him. He's out now on his own recognizances with a court date. I didn't catch the court date that he got, but he is facing a misdemeanor of resisting, obstructing, or delaying.
Well, it's interesting that Officer Martin kind of shoved his way into this situation, and instead of facing charges himself of battery and or assault and battery on a citizen, which is, I'd say it's really assault and battery, because when a police officer with a badge and a gun starts shoving you around, I think that, you know, if it's an ordinary person, you might not be, you know, you might not be fearful of your life, but I think you're more likely to be terrified if it's a police officer.
Yeah, they have a badge, a gun, and the power of the state behind them, and they have pepper spray and a billy club.
And they have a council people, even the most liberal, whom are apparently prepared to give them carte blanche.
Apparently so.
Mm-hmm. So, what's happening now? You're still at the jail, or?
I'm still at the jail. People have left now because we have also a lot of things going on tonight.
You want to tell us what's happening tonight?
Well, it's 7 o'clock. We're urging all folks to come down to What is Art, and we're going to be talking about this, too, now.
Now, where is What is Art?
What is Art is a small little space located at 2044 North Pacific Avenue, just north of the clock tower, and we're going to be showing a video called Incident at Oglala, which details the FBI frame-up of Leonard Peltier.
What about Incident at New Leaf?
Yeah, we should have. Well, we have some video footage of some things, of some interviews with people that were witnesses.
And apparently you did a documentary yourself. You were recording the entire process, huh?
Mm-hmm. I have the whole incident on audio, which I wanted to try and get up to your show, but I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Well, you were able to at least to reach us by phone.
Yeah.
And your show is on Wednesday at?
Wednesday night at 9 p.m., and I'm also going to be, I'm doing Monday mornings from 8 to 11 a.m., where I claim Making Contact, Common Ground, and Earth First Radio from 8 till 9:30, and then at 9:30 a.m. on Mondays, I take over and do
So you may be playing these tapes at that time?
Yeah, Monday morning. Maybe I might even give it to Skidmark Bob tomorrow night if he wants to play it on his show.
And what time is that?
He'll be on at 9 p.m.
9 o'clock on Friday night. So there's a What is Art, a Leonard Peltier incident at Oglala, and I guess Steve Argue will be there if he wants to talk about his situation too.
Yeah.
And is there something else happening tonight?
Well, there's a couple different meetings that different people are organizing, but we're asking people to come out to What is Art. It's a $2 to $5 suggested donation. No one turned away for lack of funds. Watch the movie, find out about Leonard's case. We're going to have a little discussion about what happened with Steve now too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, come on down. 7 o'clock.
Anything you want to add, Vinny?
No, thank you. I think we covered everything.
All right, we're talking to Vinny Lombardo, a talk show host, apparently man with a job, and we'll be checking your checks tomorrow, Vinny.
Right on. Bye, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Sergeant, I'm a lucky young man just arrived. And join the Marshall Plan. And I want to do my duty, but one thing I do implore, you must give me lessons, Sergeant, for I've never killed before. To do my job obediently is all that I desire. To learn my weapon thoroughly and how to aim and fire. To learn to kill the enemy and then to slaughter more. I'll need instruction, Sergeant, for I've never killed before. Now there are rumors in the forget about our enemy. They say that when you see him, he looks just like you and me. But you deny it, Sergeant, and you are a man of war. So you must give me lessons, for I've never killed before. There are several lessons that I haven't mastered yet. I haven't got the hang of how to use the bayonet. If he doesn't die at once, am I just sticking with it more? I hope you will be patient, for I've never killed before. And the hand grenade is something that I just don't understand. With me, or you're apt to lose your hand. Does it blow a man to pieces with its wicked muffled roar? I've got so much to lose because I've never killed before. Well, I want to thank the sergeant for the help you've been to me. You've taught me how to kill and how to hate the enemy. And I know that I'll be ready when you march me off to war. And I know that it won't matter that I've never killed before. I know that it won't matter that I've never killed before.
And that was another one from the early 60s, Tom Paxton, The Willing Conscript. The first time in my history on the show, I'm actually playing records, vinyl, for some of the really great songs that you can't hear because they aren't on tape and they're on CD. I've never heard about it. This is from Tom Paxton's album, Ain't That News, way back when. So you tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris, actually in my bathrobe, taking it easy on this cooling off, but still warm, Thursday, July 22nd. We have an open phone line at 427-3772, 427-FRSC, in case you want to call in and join the conversation or make some of your own. We've been talking to Vinnie Lombardo down at the jail about the arrest today of homeless activist Steve Argue, who, of course, has been pressing for an independent investigation of the brutality of David LaFavor, police officer who was involved in a series of assaults on women at the May 22nd protest in front of the McPherson Center on Front Street in the protests against the bombing of Yugoslavia. And looks like Steve is getting targeted again, this time by Officer Martin. At least that's the claim of some of the witnesses. Actually, I'm going to play you some more testimony. This from folks on the scene about an hour and a half after the alleged assault by Martin on Steve Argue, which Vinnie Lombardo just talked about. And you'll hear some other perspectives on...
You're an extremely late, 10 minutes too late witness here. What's your name?
Sherry.
And Sherry, you came and you saw a bunch of police getting into a car? Or?
No, they were just standing out trying to calm down. Who was the guy? Do you know the guy?
Steve Argue?
Yeah.
The guy with blonde hair?
No. See, there was a different guy that was quite upset at the fact that this other guy had been arrested.
Right.
And they were trying to calm him down.
What did they say to him? Remember any kind of comments that were made? Or? Did they say why they were arresting this fellow?
No. They really didn't say anything. They were just like, okay, you're upset, you know, calm down. And there was a big crowd around, and they were pretty much just trying to disperse the crowd, I think, for the most part.
How many
and make sure that nothing showed up. There was a good amount. I would say there was at least 30 people up. There was a fairly mellow crowd for the most part. And the cops didn't seem to be very aggressive towards anyone at the time that I showed up. I don't really know what happened before then. But it shortly broke up.
Is this musician here?
No, he was over there as well.
No, it's not.
You see anybody that might have been in the crowd in the store in the vicinity?
Thank
you.
As far as here?
Yeah.
No. Everybody migrated over towards the New Leaf.
So I can check that out.
Hi.
Hi.
Robert North, how are you?
Good.
Good to see you.
What's that
shirt
like?
I used to be. Red American.
Well,
I'm still a red American, damn it. Everybody else should go home.
Philosophy.
Interesting philosophy. I am a red American.
So,
I'm Robert, by the way. Nice to meet you. I'm Brian.
Brian, were you here when this visit with Steve Argue happened?
No.
You didn't see it? You know what the story is?
I just came in on two. No, I have no idea.
You haven't heard what the charge was? Or
no. Even if I did, I'd like to say no comment.
Uh-huh. Well, this is for free radio. It's a matter of public information, so that's why I'm asking.
I think we had a warrant myself, maybe. We might have had a warrant.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it, but I know that the guy that got arrested actually had punched a cop because this girl had been kind of like roughed up a little bit.
I remember, yeah, but he had been bailed out on that, so that was not an outstanding... Yeah.
But did he have to go back to court and fight out about it, you know?
Yeah, he was keeping his court appearances one after another, so I don't think that was...
Well, he may have been...
Nothing was said by any of the police officers? Or?
I didn't see anything. I just seen from across the street, and I just seen the guy kind of like, he was talking a lot, you know, and, you know, sometimes if you're talking to the cops sitting there, you know, and if you're not
this
telling...
This does need to be restricted when the police enter it.
Yeah, exactly, so he was...
Well,
but anyway, so.
Thank you. Play on.
Okay. Hey, welcome to jail.
Another comment.
Yes, I have more comments. No comment. He took him to jail because he was doing wrong. Then he robbed the bank and then he went to jail.
Talking to David Warner. David, you saw an arrest about half an hour ago?
Yes, I did, sir. I seen an officer, I forgot his name, but I know it's Martin. His badge number is 161. I watched him go up to the guy with the blonde hair.
Steve Argue.
Mm-hmm. And walk up and push him. Literally push him, and Steve Argue backed up. Like, what are you doing? Why are you physically violating me? And the cop went up and pushed him again the second time. Huh? And then the cop grabbed his arm and whipped it behind his back and threw cuffs on it. The other lady went to assist him. And then we were
police officer?
Yeah. And we were screaming, why are you arresting him? And they said, they wouldn't say nothing. It's none of your business. They wouldn't say nothing. It's none of your business. And everyone's screaming. There's probably like 150 people who are screaming, why are you arresting him? Mm-hmm. And they didn't say anything. They just took him away.
How many police officers were involved?
How many total cops showed up? Like six, seven, eight?
Six
total cops showed up.
Uh-huh.
It was just Martin that was arrested, homeboy. But I mean, say, Martin was fully out of place. I mean, he came up and just misused his power. You know what I'm saying? Misdirected power is all it was. I'm not saying it's like he could have walked up in a fashion that was more orderly, but he walked up from the gate and started touching him. Before he said a word to anybody, he had his fingers on him, pushing him. So that right there is going to breed, you know, defense in anybody. You know what I mean? Regardless if it was a cop or anybody, if they walk up and just start touching you, any human being, you know, that's abrupt and that's going to create defense in anybody. That's going to breed, you know, somebody coming up and just, you know, entering your space in a way that's not, you know, that's intrusive.
What's your name?
My name is Jeremy.
Jeremy, how far away were you from this?
Oh, I was right in front of the whole thing. I seen exactly what happened. I mean, Martin could have came up in a less aggro way and carried himself in a different manner, you know, that was respectful, and people would have, you know, definitely had more of a, you know, understanding, copacetic type vibe. But he walked up in a manner that was fully right from the gate, obtrusive and, you know, rude and infringing.
What was Steve doing when Officer Martin walked up?
He was basically insinuating about, you know, what was going on with the officer that was here, the female, about, you know, her rights, or, you know, or what she can or can't do or say. And he was basically, you know, involving himself. My mom has a saying, don't involve, you know, we got enough trouble of our own without involving ourselves in other people's. So indirectly, I mean, it was definitely, he didn't do anything wrong, but he involved himself in a manner.
Let me ask you this. What was Steve like you doing before Officer Martin came up, you know?
Well, he was standing there telling the lady that,
a police officer?
Yeah, to give back my check.
And what happened? What was that about?
Well, basically, homegirl came up and she wanted to see, you know, I was talking about how I had this check, and then she said, let me see it or whatever. And then I showed her.
This was the police officer?
Yeah. And then the check had my uncle's name on it, so she took the check, and then she said, can I call your uncle? And I said, yeah. And then and then she was doing all that, and then I said, well, give the check back. And then, you know, she said, but you said I could. And then I said, well, then sit down on the ground. And I was like, you know, obviously you're not doing everything I say. so don't try to play that, you know?
How did this come to her attention? Did someone complain? Or
oh, no. She was sitting here conversing with us, and I was rapping about the PIGs, telling her how, you know, Boy Blue, this and that, and who the fuck are they to tell me what to do, and just doing my little raps about the cops.
This was over in Woolworths?
No, that was right here.
Right here. Okay.
Yeah, and then Stephen then came up, and then after a while, I was like, this is just too policey, give my fucking check back, and then she was like, you know, had her little thing about the check and this and that, and now, you know, it was an investigation or something.
How did you know you had a check?
Because I told her. I was bragging that I had the $26,000 check right here with me. I was like, fuck.
You have the check now?
Yeah.
So she did get it back to you?
Yeah.
And do you think
hopefully I didn't lose it. It's signed check by my uncle.
You can give me half if you'd like.
Right.
Did you think that she arrested Steve Argue because he intervened on your behalf?
She didn't arrest him. For one, Martin did. I think Martin did because he must know Steve, and they must have some little ego clash going, personally. It was just an ego thing. Martin and Steve, obviously Steve's had words with Martin or something.
Is Martin's his first name or his last name?
Last name, it looked like.
Yeah.
But obviously Martin had some ego thing. You know what I mean? There was a contingency about the ego, and I guess for some reason he directed his, you know, his flipped outness at Steve. But really, there was no justification in it. I mean, he could say that he told Steve to back up and Steve didn't listen. I guess that's why he obtained him. But I can't see why an arrest went down. And if anything, if anybody was in the wrong, Martin walked up out of nowhere and started putting his hands on people. And I just don't know how right or wrong that is. I don't know what kind of rules the cops do or don't have on that.
Recall what Steve said to the officer who took your check and for a period of time wouldn't give it back to you.
He said something about what right is of yours to take his check and this and that. And then she said whatever she said. Somebody's smoking a fucking cigarette.
Okay, we're talking to
Leslie Stolman.
And Leslie, you're from Santa Cruz?
I'm actually from Colorado, but I'm down here for now, I guess.
And you were on the streets of Pacific Avenue this afternoon and saw something?
Yep. There was a kid standing out here. The cops came up, and they were just, this lady cop came up, and she was just talking to him, like, telling him he should write raps and stuff. And some other cops came over, like, there was a problem over here, but there wasn't. She was just standing here talking. And basically what happened is they started harassing one kid about a check that he had, and then another kid stepped in and was like, why are you harassing him? What's going on here? Like, leave him alone. And basically the cop came up behind him, pushed him. He's like, lay your hands off me, don't touch me. Cop grabbed his arm because he said, don't touch me, like, you know, like, oh, look, I can grab you. And then he's like, get your hands off me, kept talking to him, like, what are you doing? You can't bug these people in a public place. And the cop pushed him around, grabbed his arm, twisted it, put him in handcuffs, and put him in the car for absolutely no reason.
And how much of this did you see?
The whole thing.
How far away from it were you?
About 5-10 feet.
And where did this happen?
Right, Pacific and Lincoln.
So right here near Juice World
and New Leaf.
And New Leaf.
Yep.
And were there other people watching this?
There were, at first there were about 10 people here, and by the end of the conversation there were people across the street watching, people in the street, people all the way down the sidewalk. There was probably 60 people here by the end of it.
How many police officers were involved?
About six.
And what did they do? Was the officer involved in Officer Martin, you know?
Yes, Officer Martin. His badge number was 161.
And how did you know that?
We looked at it. We wrote it down.
You yourself personally looked at it?
Yes. Yeah. I looked for his name. It was A. Martin. His badge number is 161. We wrote it down on a piece of paper because we're filing. We have complete police.
Excellent. And do you know the names of any of the other witnesses?
I don't know any of these kids. I just moved down here, so.
So you
have
been
out with them for a while. Yeah.
And you're a working person?
Not right now. I have a whole bunch of money saved for my last job, so.
You can take me out to dinner then.
All right.
Well, that's great. So it pretty much ended when Steve was taken away, or what was it?
No, definitely not ended. They stood around here. They called. This kid had a check. He just inherited some money from his uncle or something, and they're harassing him about his check. It was like a $26,000 check, and they're like, this check isn't yours. They called the bank. They called his uncle or his aunt or whatever, and they found out that it was his, and they ended up giving it back. But they were here for probably 15, 20 minutes, standing here harassing everyone that was standing here. They told us to not sit on the, we were sitting on the rails. They were harassing us about sitting on the rails. They're like, it's against public ordinance, and they were telling us to stand back because we were all standing around really close because we were talking to him about arresting the guy. We were asking him why they arrested him, and they wouldn't answer us. They just kept saying, it's none of your business. And we're like, well, you just put that guy in the car. We want to know what the charge is. And they're like, it's none of your business. Just stay back. Stand back away from us. And they stood here for about 20 minutes and kept people back from the little confrontation that was here with about the check. And they ended up calling, and the check was his, so they gave it back to him. And that's when they left.
And we're talking about this fellow who I first spoke with.
Right, in the white shirt.
His first name is?
I don't know what his first name is. He's been making up all sorts. He calls himself Jeremy.
Uh-huh. Well, his name is his own affair, but certainly it's interesting that he became the focus of this and police began to, if as you say is accurate, to harass him, if that's what happened.
I mean, nobody deserved to be arrested here. Nobody was, there wasn't anybody even saying foul language to them. Like, I mean, people were being pretty cool about it. They were just like, why are you arresting him? We were just asking him questions. And, I mean, they harassed him, but they arrested some guy that, like, was just trying to step in for him and ask him, like, why they were harassing him. Like, this kid was not doing anything at all. Like, he didn't say, I didn't hear one word of vulgarity come out of his mouth. I didn't hear, like, anything at all that was, like, rude. And they just, they pushed him, and they twisted his arm, and they put handcuffs on him and arrested him for nothing.
The name of the female officer involved?
I don't know the female officer's name. She was just being cool. She was just keeping people back, and she was, like, telling everyone to step back and, like, keep away, like, trying to prevent a riot or something.
Who intervened with this check business? Who initiated the check part?
It was the woman cop.
It was her?
Yeah.
But we don't know her name.
No, I don't know her name.